This is Butch Slaughter here. You are tuned in. Radio. And there's my girl. She comes in at the strangest times, Dave. Ulysses Butch Slaughter here. You are tuned in to Sex and the Struggle. I'm here with my brother and friend, David Freeman. Dave, good to have you back here on Sex and the Struggle, man.
Hey, it's good to be here. How are you doing?
I'm doing really, really well, man. I want to continue where you and I were going before we came on live. Tonight, we're going to talk about advocating sex, intimacy, and pleasure. What is it like for those of us who embrace the lifestyle, a lifestyle that focuses on sex, intimacy, and pleasure? What is it like when we are trying to explain that to someone? When people ask us, what do we do? How do we tell people who we really are without being embarrassed, without, you know, pulling punches, without making excuses, all of that? I want to talk about that. And I also want to bring the audience into what we were into before we hopped on. You know, I was telling you that I needed some space this weekend. I needed an opportunity to have my brain, my spirit to myself. And so I decided I was going to take a drive, and I was going to go spend some time with a friend in Connecticut. And it felt really good to hop in the car and just be by myself, Dave, and just, you know, hear my thoughts, man. I almost felt like I was meeting myself again for the first time. And I'm going to start making that a practice, man. I think I'm going to do that no less than once every 2 weeks, Dave. Am I going to seclude myself someplace and just be
with
me?
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. Yeah, I'm glad you said that. It had not really landed for me as thinking about doing this as a practice, you know, with all the talk about practice that we do. But yeah, you know, making it a practice to get away and be by yourself before you get push to that point where you're reacting to something that's come up or some stress or something that you're dealing with, you know, making it a practice to get away and reconnect with yourself. And we do that through meditation and some other things, but we don't do that on a larger scale where we, you know, just get out of town and just find yourself some place where there's nothing else to distract you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to underscore that point too, Dave, because I can go to the gym. Right. I can go to the gym and I can be by myself. And a lot of times when I'm in the gym, I'm really focused on being in the gym. I'm not one of those people who go into the gym and start socializing. You know, you sit on a machine, one machine for 10 minutes. And most of the time you're talking to somebody. That's the thing. When I go in the gym, I got my headset in. I am working out. I put my face on. It says, don't talk to me. So everybody around me knows, don't talk to me. I'm not there to talk. But there's a difference between going into the gym and having my so-called me time versus getting on the road, driving, going someplace, being around like some water, being around some trees, being under the sky, walking in the rain. I mean, being disconnected from a lot of people, disconnected from a lot of sounds, disconnected from my technology, disconnected from that stuff, but connected to the universe, for lack of a better way of putting it. I've been joking a lot lately around how people in many ways act like the sun and the moon are overrated. So it's like, what's the point in spending time underneath the sun and the moon? You know, they're overrated. I'm like, nah, we need to get back to the place where we have respect for the universe. We have respect for the wind that blows. We have respect for the flow of the streams. We have respect for these things. We take heed, pay attention to, you know, the insects and the design of leaves and all that kind of stuff. I'm not running from anything. I want to run to this stuff, Dave.
Right. And I think that's a, you know, a really good point of it. You know, like whether you go, you sit down for an hour meditation or you go to the gym to work out, there's something different about taking a long, you know, a 4-hour drive and you know, getting out on the road, going someplace where you're going to be in nature for some extended period of time. And I think that part of the value of that is that length of time that you spend there. You know, if I'm, you know, meditating, I even if I don't have a watch on, I know what time it is. I know how how much longer I have in that hour. Or if I'm doing, you know, working out at the gym, or you know, I already start thinking about the next thing that's going to come up. But if I'm taking a walk out in nature, a lot of times you walk in one direction, just starting to sink in and notice things about nature. You don't really pay attention to how far you're walking, and then you've got to make that path back, and that journey is just, well, it's just that. It's a journey. It's a journey inside yourself as well as the, you know, the physical journey that you're taking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is something that I think we should do, and we should come back and talk about regularly. Just finding some time for yourself, or you know, I like being by myself. I wouldn't mind going with a friend, Dave. I just want to go. I want to go far enough away, intentionally planned, not reactionary, not like, you know, I got to get the hell out of this house. That's not the way I want to do it. I want to have it in my mind. I actually want to write down in the future now when that is going to happen. I want to see that in the future. And it actually gives me notice of a break up ahead, a retreat up ahead. So all the things that I'm doing between my return today, for example, to the next time I go, whether it be next week or the week after, I know that that is waiting up ahead for me, and I'm going to build that in. So it's planned. It's intentional.
Right.
And I'm not going to run from anything. Yeah. I'm running. You and I were talking about this earlier. There's a difference between running from pain and running to embrace pleasure. Running from anything.
Right.
I'm running to something. It's an entirely different feeling, right?
That's right. And you know, this show is called Sex and the Struggle. This is what we're talking about. You know, running towards something, running, having a concept, having a knowledge of some concept that is your pleasure, some desire that is out there in front of you, versus, you know, a lot of us, even in our sex, we have all these experiences that we, you know, have shame around or have guilt around, or we won't engage in anything that feels good to us until we're, you know, just so frustrated with something else that we just got to have sex just to, you know, come back in touch with our bodies. We don't make that a practice of reaching out and planning that to look forward to frequently enough that it's something that propels us and keeps us going, keeps us running to the next experience.
That's a great way of adding to that whole conversation of the practice, man. And specifically regarding sex, you know, sex, people talk about having makeup sex, right? They talk about having sex when they are frustrated. So, you know, you can have all of this reactionary stuff that you do related to sex, and it puts a particular kind of value on sex when you use it that way. And I don't know that kind of sex creates or takes away from intimacy, and I always say there's no one size fits all, so I'm not going to even try to answer these questions in that way. All I do know is that when we set our intentions on intimacy, when we say yes to it, we say yes to pleasure, we say yes to intimacy, we say yes to sex proactively, from a practice standpoint, it's something entirely different, man. It is getting in the car and driving 4 hours, right? That's what it is. It's like, you know, that 4 hours me with the top down and the sun on me and the smells of, like, I'm moving through upstate New York into Connecticut, trees blowing. All that sensation, man, was beautiful. Beautiful. And it left an impression on me, Dave. I mean, it really left...
Did you have your top down?
It left an impression on me. Oh, you know I did, man. You know I had my top down, man. And it was an overcast. It was, you know, low 80s. So the sun wasn't. It was an overcast, low 80s, so it really wasn't that hot. And the overcast kept the sun off this bald head. And so it felt good. I felt, you know what I love about having the top down is it feels like I'm outside. You know, when I'm driving with the top down, it's like I'm outside. I'm not constrained or constricted with the roof on me. So that is just it, man. I'm committing to that today as something I'm going to do that will enhance my being all the way around. Once, no less than every 2 weeks, Dave. No, and I'm gonna be checking in with you too, man. I'm hoping that it sound like the train coming to get you to take you away, man. You get ready to go on your trip, huh?
It sounds like it.
Yeah. I'm like, whoa, Dave. You get ready to go practice now. So anyway, again, this is Sex and the Struggle. We're already at 10 after. We are at 10 after 9 on the East Coast. We do this every week, 9 o'clock. We're talking about sex, intimacy, and pleasure. We do Sex in the Struggle every week, Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We got something coming up, man, that I'm getting more and more exciting about. Sex in the Struggle, Let's Get It On. This is a live talk show event that is coming to the MJ Free Theater in Chester City, Saturday, September the 16th, 2017 at 7 p.m. Dave, we've talked about doing live stuff. We've talked about Sex and the Struggle as a podcast, and we've talked about doing live stuff. And man, we have really picked up the pace here with live stuff. Going back to Don't Wait, Fornicate, when we did that June 24th, of 2017 with Sister Frenchie. She may be on a little bit later. You did the retreat. We are not just coming on here now and talking. We are applying this in 3D fashion, man. And I am so looking forward to Sex and the Struggle. I keep bringing in new guests. I keep bringing in new stuff, Dave. It's just like more people are signing up. More people are saying yes to this every single day.
Yeah, I saw your list. Very impressive. I'm really excited, and you know, Don't Wait, Fornicate was an amazing event from the concept to the execution, and Sex and the Struggle is something that has been brewing in your pot for some time. So I can't imagine what, you know, how this is going to unfold and what, you know, what's going to come out of this. But yeah, this is something that it has been a long time coming since we started this show way back in January. And, well, even since we started our conversation about this back in June of last year. It's been more than a year ago now we first spoke of this.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And it's interesting. Two things are interesting about this is, first of all, time flies, man. So we got to make shit happen. We got to make shit happen. Time flies. We look up and it's a year after we started talking about something, and we have to ask ourselves, did we really give it the best effort? If we really believe in this thing that we're talking about, did we give it the best effort as advocates of sex, intimacy, and pleasure? Are we really putting our thing down, or are we just talking shit? And clearly, for all of the missteps, which were part of the lessons learned, for all of the delays, which were part of the lessons learned, for all of that, we've stayed true to this thing, man. And this is what brings us to the place where Sex and the Struggle is happening September 16th, 2017 at 7 p.m. MJ Free. My buddy Devin Wars is going to lay out a scene on a stage that is going to be exhilarating. I was talking with my friend Laura over the weekend about the way that we are going to engage people's senses. We're not just going to engage the thinking. There's more to Sex and the Struggle than thinking. We're looking at the way that we're going to engage people's taste buds, the way we're going to engage their eyes, the way that we're going to engage their bodies. It's going to be a multifaceted, multisensory experience, man. And we keep building this thing up. I want to take this thing on the road, man. And I want to do this multiple times in multiple cities, because there's a way that this conversation around sex and intimacy needs a major breakthrough. We need a major breakthrough. Are you following the stuff that's going on? And what is it, South Carolina, Dave? The whole skinhead shit that people are talking about. Have you seen any of that stuff?
Charlottesville, Virginia. Yeah.
Virginia. Yeah.
Yeah. That. I mean, you know, all of this, and you know, it's been really disappointing. It's disappointing to see what is going on, and it's disappointing to see the reaction to what's going on. It's just, I think what's going to have to happen is for, you know, those of us regular people who, you know, are living their everyday lives, doing their everyday thing, they're going to have to start standing up and saying, we're not taking this anymore.
Yeah, I agree. And I think there's another way of looking at it, too. See, the media plays a huge role in this, and this is something that we're going to talk about during the next talk. Media projects images. Media projects shit to our worlds. Images.
Okay, you're breaking up a little bit. Can you hear me? I'm assuming that Ulysses is going to dial back in a moment, having some kind of technical difficulties. And I'm not sure why it always happens to him, but I'm certainly on and can hear. That was something, a bit of a challenge. So what we're talking about right now is living sex, intimacy, and pleasure. And one of the things that comes up for me when I talk about living sex and intimacy, something Ulysses just said just before we had this technical difficulty is we're talking about running from pain versus running toward pleasure. Well, one of the things that you need to do that comes up for me is I need to put that pleasure out in front of me. I need to put some desire out. I need to have something that I'm working towards, something that I'm reaching for. Because when I'm not reaching for something, then I start to fall back into feeling the weight of my day, feeling the weight of what I'm pulling, what I'm working on, and what I'm having to go through on a regular basis. And it starts to get heavy. Is that you, Ulysses?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on there, but I appreciate you letting me know that you couldn't hear a thing I was saying, man. And I'm glad you picked up, and it sounds like you were in what I was talking about, man. I mean, this Charlottesville thing has a way of pulling everybody in a direction, and it behaves. Situations like this would make you think that there was only one thing going on in the world, right? And I don't know if you heard the point I was making regarding my background in journalism. Did you get any of that? I was talking about being in the Navy and all that.
No, we didn't.
Okay,
no,
so let me just
that'd be a good place to start.
I spent years, Dave, as what some might consider a news junkie, man. I was always watching CNN. I wanted to know the latest shit that was going on. I was reading everything that came out. I wanted to be the news man, you know. I wanted to be able to debate and talk about the black historical context and talk about the presidency and global politics and all that kind of stuff. I wanted to be a guy who people would look at and say, boy, is he smart. And that shit gets draining, man. There's a way that shit gets draining to have to turn.
Absolutely.
Everybody turns their focus that way. So everybody turns
to
Charlottesville and we say, yeah, there's a problem there. But tell me, isn't there other shit going on in the world too, man?
Absolutely. And you know, one of the things that we, you know, I think when we started talking about this concept of sex and the struggle, I think it was hard for people to grasp exactly what struggle we were talking about. And this is a prime example. You know, listening to the news, watching CNN, seeing what's going on a regular basis, it is very heavy. And we're not saying, you know, we're not saying to numb yourself to what's going on in the world or don't be aware. We're saying, you know, be aware, understand what's going on, but you also need to keep that anchor of your desire out in front of you. You need to be able to pull yourself out of that. And so that that desire is where you're headed, even though all this stuff, all this molasses, this, you know, this inertia is of what's going on, the emotion about what's going on a day-to-day basis. That's we've got to work through. But what's going to help us get through that is having that anchor out there in front of us that is anchored in our desires. That says, you know, every 2 weeks, I'm going to take a drive up to Mount Washington, or I'm going to take a drive up to visit a friend in Connecticut, or I'm going to take, you know, a nature walk and park my car somewhere and just go off on a trail and just see where it takes me. You know, having that anchor out there so that you can have a plan to reconnect with yourself on a regular basis so you don't get hungry and you're not open to leaving your body open to all the stuff that the world will fill you up with if you don't have anything else.
Dave, I think that we have a desire to live in a particular kind of world, and we want what we call peace. We want justice. We want harmony. There's some things that we want. And I think there's some things that we are all hopeful that we can get to. And to be distracted. See, this is the thing that I say about these situations. They distract us in a way that we wound up not just being distracted, but we get captivated and mesmerized by this stuff. And then we forget that there's other stuff that's available. It's like this takes so much of our attention that when it's time to make love, we're not available. I always talk about Marvin Gaye's songs. Are you there with me, Dave?
I am.
Okay. All right. So what Marvin Gaye could just as easily be singing the song, What's Going On Today? He made that song back in the early 70s.
Absolutely.
He could just be asking, he could be asking the same question today. What's going on, right? And so when I wrote Forgive, the New Mantra and Practice for Black Men, which is what these conversations are based on, I talk about Marvin Gaye and his influence in my life and how Marvin Gaye could ask the question, what's going on? And if you recall this song, He's talking about, you know, picket signs and punish me with brutality and all this stuff. This is what he says on What's Going On. Marvin Gaye, just a few years later, writes Let's Get It On, right? And so this thing is important. The balance here is very important. We can't keep saying what's going on and not saying, let's get it on. At some point, we have to say, let's get it on. We can't keep saying, what's going on in Charlottesville? What's going on in the White House? What's going on in the Middle East? What's going on over there? What's going on? Everything is what's going on. And there's no, let's get it on. So we become paralyzed, mesmerized by the question of what's going on. And we don't have an opportunity to say, let's get it on. It's almost like saying, I can't love you. I can't love you. I can't make love to you right now because there's fighting in Charlottesville. I can't love you.
Right.
I can't make love to you because of what's going on in the Middle East. I can't love you. I can't make love to you because of what's going on over there. This thing, did you hear about such and such? All of that. And I ain't got time to make love to you. I think my sister Tazima is joining us. Let's see if that's her. Tazima.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What's
sir.
Happening, sister? What's happening, sister?
You
picked
right
up what we put
y'all.
Down?
Absolutely. This is what I've been saying since the Women's March, actually.
Uh-huh.
How are you doing,
you know,
Tazima?
I'm quite well, thank you. I'm quite well. And well loved up. In my home, because I'm
good
making
for you,
a priority.
Girl.
Very good.
Good for you, girl. Because see, you know what, Tazima? you it's like you eating your Wheaties. Some people stop eating their Wheaties when shit go on. You still eat your Wheaties. We know when Tazima comes to the battle that she is well loved.
Yeah.
She ain't deficient. She did all that it took to get the juice back up.
Right.
So Tazima ain't gonna. If anybody gonna fight, Tazima gonna kick some ass because Tazima made love last night. Tazima got it in this afternoon. Tazima got it in this morning. Tazima, you better leave Tazima alone because she hurt you. Shit. All the rest of y'all are tired because y'all ain't getting on, and Tazima out there kicking ass because Tazima got some.
I don't want to. I don't want this dramatization to overestimate what's actually happening. But I will say, when I'm loved up, is definitely better than when I'm not. I'm definitely more committed to the fight when I'm loved up. I don't care how many things I can quote and how many fucked up facts I can acknowledge. Like, who gives a fuck? Like, seriously, what's more important is that you create the space for you to show up to what you care about, whether it is these conflicts, mm-hmm. these challenges, our local terrorism, mm-hmm. or whether it's, mm-hmm. you know, feeding the hungry, or it's, mm-hmm. you know, creating widgets or mobile apps, or, like, because different people have different things. And that's the other piece I want to sort of bring into this conversation. I hang out with I'm a recovering activist. And I specifically say I'm a recovering activist because, you know, like, my people are pretty, they're kind of like heavy hitters. And there has always been this kind of, like, minimum standard for your level of activism, which I pretty much resented most of the time. It's like, I'm not down because I haven't gone to X, Y, and Z protests or whatever. And I'm just like, you know, I choose not to be at everything. I actually have less of a social justice focus. My personal focus is on people having great relationships so that when they show up for the social justice rally, they not bring in their relationship drama into the rally. They ain't fighting extra hard or pushing on something that doesn't need to be pushed on because they're pissed at their mate. So if I don't do my job, the people who are actually who actually love remembering dates in history, like, which I don't, like, those people can rise to those occasions. I really do. But yeah, so don't try to call me out.
But you know, ever since you and I have been talking, I have been so fond of the way that you put that, the way that you talk about, you know, you being a recovering activist, and the way you talk about there really is this way that people get measured by mm-hmm. those who see themselves as the vanguard. You know, it's like if you don't know about that thing that's going on, then you ain't really down for the cause. If you ain't, somebody will call me and say, "Are you watching this?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm watching this." And then they start to describe it. I'm like, "No, I'm not watching that. I was looking at this butterfly." This monarch butterfly is in the backyard, and I was just checking out how intricate it was. Wait, you're not watching the butterfly? Right. And I don't mean to be dismissive, but I'm like, do you know how much shit is going on this planet at any given time? And that just because somebody turns a camera on it and everybody is watching, it's because the mass media can simulcast that shit across 20 different platforms on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer, on your television. Even billboards in freaking Times Square will pop this shit up. Just because that means it's relevant,
I don't like being seduced in that way. I just don't. I don't like feeling like you can seduce me in that way. And nobody should like
that. I think that's why, you know, things like this show that we're doing are so important, because when you look at, like, you know, 20 years ago, before the, you know, when the mass media was different, you know, we didn't have as many avenues of a, you know, a spread for our attention. The way that we as the consumers had to deal with that was greatly different than what it is now. So things change with the way that things are marketed to you and pushed to you. So somehow you need to become educated at how to deal with that. And so what we're talking about on this show is, yeah, there's lots of stuff out there. And Tazima, I love what you said about, you know, trying to show up to be an activist, and you got so much shit going on at home that you didn't finish the fight that you had with your partner before you showed up at this rally, and now you've got that to add to this. And, you know, the other side of that is, you know, just feel – there's a feeling of hopelessness. If you, you know, when you look at all the stuff that's going on in the world, if you don't have something to hope for, you're sitting there just trying to figure out, I mean, what's your goal at that point? If you don't have your own desires anchored in something in front of you that you're looking forward to, then what is your desire? What's your goal? Are you trying to go to, like, the last rally, and when you finish this, everything's going to be fine and back to normal? What is your objective? You need to have your own personal desires out there in front of you, anchored, so that that's what you're striving for.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to read this one section from just a really quick blurb from the book, Forgive, the New Mantra and Practice for Black Men, because I keep going back to the question Marvin Gaye asked, what's going on? And Tazima, you probably heard me saying this earlier, Marvin Gaye's song is timeless in this geopolitical environment. It's just like, you could say what's going on. He could be singing that song forever, asking that question. The way things seem to go, it's just a song that seems like it will always have relevance. So Marvin Gaye's saying, what's going on? There's a segment here in the book where I say that lovemaking fuels the fight. It always has, it always will. Many black men and women often live in hectic, if not chaotic, environments. The action is nonstop and often seems out of our control and beyond our authority, but nothing in our lives is totally out of our control, and there is a way to relieve our minds. Sexual healing is good for us. It relieves our minds. Too often we need the right mood to make love. We need a good reason, as if withholding love will create love. We shouldn't need a special occasion to make love. We shouldn't require perfect circumstances to submerge into pure and playful passion. This is one of the most difficult sections of the book that people will have to read, and it's so simple to dismiss sexual healing as silly indulgence. It may be easier to put off to puff out our chest than to open up our hearts. Marvin said, love is life. Love making is generative. Are you making love? And if you're not making love, what are you fighting for? I think people forget what they're fighting for. If you're not making love, tell me what the fuck you're fighting for. I don't get it, Tazima. I mean, Dave, I just don't get it. I think people get so caught up in the fight that they forget what they're fighting for.
Mm-hmm. Earlier,
absolutely.
You were something was being said. I think, Dave, you were talking about going to the next rally or protest, and after that, at some point, it's going to be over or whatever. There are two things bouncing off of this comment question that you're making. What are you fighting for? And I think that's a critical question. And, like, people say we're fighting for freedom, for our rights, well, what does that really mean? What would you be able to do that you currently can't do? Because I actually want to challenge the idea of getting freedom from somewhere. What is stopping you from basically doing the things that you think you will do after all of this protesting? I challenge many people. There are a few people out here who I know are actually living free, a few. But there are a lot of people who the shackles that are being discussed here are like the patriarchy, the racism, the white supremacy. Like, what is it that you feel like you can't do? I was in Alabama last week, okay? It's slightly intimidating, but number one, I have a car, so already I'm privileged. Two, I have shoes, already privileged. Like, I can leave, okay? We had enough money to get down there and get back. We had enough money to feed ourselves. And I'm not saying everybody has everything that I have, but what are the things that you're saying that you cannot do? What is your intention for this freedom that you're looking for? What is your intention for breaking down this system? What do you want to put in place? How can you live that now? Because that life will start to create that gravity. And quite frankly, bringing this back to let's get it on is like, why are you stopping yourself from having the lovemaking that you want, from having the connection you want, just because you need to go to this next protest? Don't go. Go home, make love to your partner, okay? Have a just one night. Take one night out of your protest week. Go home and love on somebody. Take a break from Facebook. Take a break from social media. Stop going. That thread will be fine without you. Make out with your partner. Stop it. Okay? And then make your intention before you go to the next protest. Make an intention for what you're fighting for. Make an intention for this year I want to have more freedom in my life. What would that look like for you? Okay? That's all I got to say right now.
I think it's okay to be in fellowship in protest and community with people. And I think mass movements are important, but I think as, if not more important, is when everybody in there, every single body, every single heart and soul in that mass is clear and coherent about what they want. And not that it has to be separate, you know, from everybody else, because there's a need for unity. I get that. But unity isn't simply about numbers. Unity isn't simply about numbers. You know, it's not about how many people were there. It's about the quality of the people that are there. It really is about the intimacy that those people share. And people look past that. Sometimes people are just talking shit. That's all they're doing. They're just talking high-level bullshit. And my thing is, when it's all said and done, if you got 200 people at a rally, what a difference it would make if all 200 of them went back home and made love. I mean, what if that could be one of the requirements of showing up at a rally? You know, you check off. Well, did you make love last night?
Hey,
no, okay, why don't you go back home?
Let's do that one. Let's do a march.
With that as a qualification.
You can only
march here if you made love to somebody last night. No, I mean, and no, you can't come to this march on credit that you gonna make love.
Right.
You actually have to have done it. Don't tell me you're going to or you forgot. Because if you show up here and you don't know what you're fighting for, if you actually just kind of showed up here, because, see, sometimes people are running from intimacy. That's the thing that gets me, too. Sometimes people are in these mass things because they don't want to have to deal with the individual shit back at home. And that we can't tolerate that. We can't have people faking the funk talking about, you know, the man and white supremacy and the president and all that. No, nobody want to hear that shit if you're not being true to the space that you can actually, the space where you can most likely be most effective. You ain't being true there. What do we need you standing around here talking this shit for? You ain't even holding it down where you live. Take your ass home. That's my thing.
That's fun.
Hey, well, if anybody's out there and they want to call in and talk with us, this is now the time to do that. We coming up on 9:41. This is Sex and the Struggle. I'm Ulysses Butch Slaughter. I'm joined with my sister, Tazima Davis, as always, and my brother, David Freeman. And we were talking earlier, Tazima, I want you to chime in on this. We were talking about a couple of things, because this program is about advocating sex, intimacy, and pleasure. And I think we're still talking about that, because in a way, we're talking about advocating it juxtaposed to the advocating of politics and advocating of protests and advocating of all that kind of stuff. We're not saying anything against that. I think what we're suggesting to people is that there's a way to make those protests more potent. There's a way that those could be some kick-ass protests if the people in those protests are coming there having made love before they got there. Because you need a reminder of what you're fighting for. So if you're out there listening to Sex and the Struggle and you want to call in, you want to call 657-383-0185. It's interesting to me, Tazima, that crickets make more noise than some people when it comes to this conversation of are you holding it down in your intimate relationship life? Are you really making love? Are you loving your children? Are you loving the people close to you? Are you intimate? Are you seeking pleasure? What is the point of all the fight if you're not getting that thing? It's like, you know, what's the point in you complaining about a system? Some people would say, if you're not voting, even if you voted, but you're not actually living in accordance with your vote, what's the point in you voting? What's the point in you protesting if you're not going to live in accordance with this mass thing? Don't just show up because this is like, it's like a party for a lot of people. It's the place to be. Everybody was there, so I'm going to hang out there.
Yeah, I love that you're asking that question, and because that's one thing that, you know, I would love to have people call in to answer the question for themselves. You know, what are the things that hold you back from your sex, intimacy, and pleasure? What are the reasons that keep you from plugging in there?
I think it's a very valuable question. Tazima, before you hopped on, Dave and I, earlier in the program, we were talking about the practice of getting away. You know, sometimes we practice going into the mix. I mean, to some people, it's a daily practice. You know, they call it going to work. When they go to work and they are going to be in spaces where they get frustrated, they aren't fulfilled. And sure, some people have work where they are fulfilled, but they're in this environment where there is no real isolated me time. No time to really feel my being, you know, to feel my heart, to hear my thoughts. Excuse me. And I had the need yesterday just to hop in the car and start driving. And I drove for 4 hours straight up to Connecticut. And I needed that time. I wanted some time to myself to hear myself. And there were times when I was driving, I didn't say this to you earlier today, but there were times when I was driving where I felt like I didn't know who I was. And I was in the car thinking to myself about, man, what are you doing? I mean, what are you doing in this life? What's going on with you? So it was almost like there were two people in the car with me. There was the person being asked the questions, and there was the person asking the questions. And it was an interesting dialogue with myself. And I want more of those dialogues. But Tazima, what I was saying is I don't want to do that in a reactionary fashion. I want to plan that. I want to make that part of my regular schedule. I want to put two of those at a minimum in my month, where I just go someplace. Maybe it's an overnighter. You know, maybe it's just me finding a nice Airbnb and just being in that spot by myself. Maybe just something where I can intentionally go, because I'm seeking pleasure, not running from pain. Two entirely different things. And I'm suggesting that's a great practice for people to pay attention to. You want to talk about advocating sex, intimacy, and pleasure, spend some time by yourself. I think that's a great way to do it.
That, and I would also make the same case for especially for people who happen to find themselves in long-term committed relationships, is to take that time away. My partner and I did this ride together down to Alabama to drop off his 16-year-old daughter at school, and it was a long drive. We actually, because of timing, had to turn actually right around and come drive back on very little sleep. But what was nice about it is that we had a change of scenery. We created a similar, you know, this similar kind of almost a retreat space, like what you were talking about with the sort of you interviewing yourself. We got to participate with each other as a team. We had a project to do. We came together on something that we were creating together. And that actually cultivated a lot of intimacy for us. Unfortunately, this is what people think they're going to do on vacation, but don't. And then they end up being, you know, crazy on vacation because they're stuck in the logistics. But if you're taking it as, you know, you have this intention to be together, create something together, this can actually be a wonderful, beautiful exercise to nourish a couple as well. So you found this nourishment in this four-hour ride, so much so that you were like, I'm going to incorporate this into what I do. Similarly, people who are in relationship can also do this together. And, yeah, you might want to, you know, get some care for the kids if you have those and figure out what else you need to do. But, like, then you have the fuel to go into your week. I suspect your four-hour trip produced a little extra fuel and nourishment.
Tazima, I was so turned on. Especially on the trip on the way back, because there was a feeling on the way there of what am I doing? You know, I remember just like, okay, what's up, man? Like, I was literally asking myself, dude, what are you going through right now? What do you need right now? And being in a car by myself, realizing I'm on my own in a way. You know, sometimes when I'm driving like that, I think to myself, I'm out here, you know, anything can happen, kind of, you know, what if this happens, what if that happens? I'm thinking about these things, and I learned to resettle again with the fact that I'm going to have to handle myself and take care of myself under the circumstances, no matter what comes up. Even if it means I'm calling for help, I'm going to have to respond on my own behalf. I'm going to have to do something on my own behalf. And so on the way back, having gone and felt like, yeah, I can do this. On the way back, I felt like I had grabbed something, like I had earned something, like I went and collected something, and then I brought it back with me. And so, and I didn't know what it was, because I wasn't going looking for something. I just felt like I needed something, I wanted something. I didn't know what it was. And I think what I wanted was I needed some space. And I needed to reconnect to myself, and I couldn't do that. It was going to take more than an hour at the gym, you know. It was going to take more than a couple of hours. It was going to take an overnight. I was going to need like a cycle, a 24-hour period to reconnect to myself. And it just felt great coming back to the, like, okay, that was great. Let's do that again soon. So I made a date with myself. I'm like, I'm going to see you in a couple of weeks, right? It's like, yeah, I'll see you. You know, I'll see you again, you know. So
you didn't answer yourself, did you?
Oh, I did, Dave. I was like, you know, it was just me in the car, you know, no shame. I'm like, yeah, you
right.
know, it's like I got a commitment from you, right? It's like, yeah, okay, look, hey, I like you. I'll see you again. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I love that that moment. There's something very significant happens for me when I find myself in that space that I'm, you know, out in nature or taking a long drive, like a whole day drive, and I don't know why I'm doing it. I don't know. I know that I had to do this, but I don't know why. And I just keep driving until I get that clarity. And I find those just really, you know, moments where I just open up. And that's a powerful moment.
I just would like to point something out for the ladies listening. If you're in a relationship with a man, and you like men, you want to continue being with a man, let him take this time. Don't try to go with him on his man time drive. Don't do that, ladies, please. So this is hugely valuable. And women have no idea what this is. We don't know why that is, you know. Even in my there was a little taste of that tendency to want to be there in my suggestion of couples doing something like this together. I do not rescind my suggestion. I think it's still a fantastic idea. And men do need caveman time. And I want to affirm both of you in this and just state for the record that this is a really fantastic opportunity, and this is something that men need that we don't need as much. We don't need as much.
Tazim, I gotta say, Tazim, I love that. Thank you very much. That's very
Absolutely.
True.
Absolutely.
I don't know how true it is, but it felt great. You know, I feel like, hey, I'm going to say this also. There was something, it felt weird. I was questioning myself a little bit, Tazim, as I was doing this thing. Because, see, I can, all week long, I can be dad. I can be coworker. I can be manager, I can be boss, I can be all these things, and it's in relation to other people. And when I'm by myself, I'm like, well, who am I to me? And as I've gotten older, I've needed those spaces to check myself. Because sometimes I'm like other people who want to go to these protests. I'm like, and I'm not saying that they're all like this. I don't want to sound disrespectful, but I know that there was a time when I was going to meetings and protests and gatherings, and as soon as I got back home, I was arguing with whoever I was with. And I'm like, what the hell is that all about? You know, I'm going to go out here and I'm going to do all this stuff. I got all this stuff to say. I'm going to sacrifice my body. I'm going to let them know, you know, how I feel about blah, 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 blah. And I go back home and I can't talk to the person that I profess to love. I can't sit down and I can't have a heart-to-heart with this person. I really hope that there are people who are listening and are giving this a lot of thought. So, see, there's going to be another Charlottesville. There's always going to be one of these things. It's going to be projected all out there, because I think part of it is to destabilize people. Part of it is
not
to destroy intimacy.
Not always.
What do you mean, not always?
I don't think we're going to be perpetually fucking with this bullshit. One of my good friends, I love her so much. I don't think we're going to be perpetually dealing with this bullshit.
Okay.
This is going to come to an end. One of my very dear friends, she's a musician, and she is actively living into like her vision that everything's going to work out. Like we're going to get solutions for like the ecology issues. We're going to figure out like our social shit. We're going to do these. Like she's holding that vision. And I'm actually joining her on that. So I'm not going to say this is going to be some perpetual shit. I think we are going to figure it out. Will there be ignorant people? Yeah, for a while. And I think we're going to figure some things out. I think it's already happening. And you know, this is part of the reason I don't participate as heavily in these activities is because you hang around that all the time and it's going to feel like it. It's going to be perpetual. I'm going to disagree on that. So carry on.
And I'm glad, I'm so glad you disagreed, because the way that you're putting that is I think that it's proper. I think I certainly don't want to sound like I don't want to sound nihilistic. I don't want to sound like somebody who does not see hope in all of that. I think you're absolutely right, is that we are going to figure it out. There's going to be an evolution. There's going to be a growth. It is going to happen. And as that is happening, I think what people will need to do is they will need to just because you are separating yourself from that stuff, just because you're not going to the marches, the protests and stuff, it doesn't mean that you don't care. I think that that's one of the things, too. People think that if I don't wear a T-shirt that says what everybody else's T-shirt says, that I don't care. If I'm not watching, that I don't care. And I think that there's a way to move toward, as you said, Dave, what we desire in our relationships and in our world. Moving toward that stuff gives less energy to the other stuff. So we keep showing up all fucked up about what happened over there, and it just keeps, it's like adding fuel to the fire. One more voice in a protest, a loud voice is more fire. My thing is, if you take your loud voice and turn it into a whisper for your lover, it takes that shit away from that thing going on over there. And as Zima said, and what her partner is saying is, it starts to change. It shifts things. So we're gonna turn the screaming into some whispers, and we're gonna get it in that way. Thank you, Zima, for saying that.
Absolutely.
Well, it's 9:57, and we are actually 9:58 now. We are coming to the end of another wonderful segment in Sex and the Struggle, and we've got Sex and the Struggle, Let's Get It On, coming on September 16, 2017 in Chester City. And next week, I'm going to have Tony Rulo. Tony Rulo is a guy I met as part of the One Taste community. He's going to be joining us for Sex and the Struggle Live in Chester. He's going to talk about his experience with orgasmic meditation. He's actually going to get on the stage with me and talk about why orgasmic meditation is an important practice to him. He's going to be joined by people like Betsy Crane and Frenchie Davis and Eric, Brother Shamari Grimes, and Jules Purnell. We've got this list of growing people who are going to be part of Sex and the Struggle. And next week, Tony is going to join us. And as we approach Sex and the Struggle, I'm going to be bringing on Rev Bev. I'm going to bring on all these people to talk about their different perspectives on Sex and the Struggle and the event. So next week, please tune in. We're going to have Tony Rulo on with us, and we may have Sister Pleasures on. She may join us next week. She goes by Pleasure. But the next few weeks, you're going to hear some new voices on here, and we're going to keep it hot. We're going to definitely keep it hot. Kazima, Dave, as always, thank you both for joining me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. It's been great.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it has been a pleasure. I look forward to talking to you both. My name is Ulysses Butch Slaughter. This is Sex and the Struggle. And we will be back next week, same time, 9 p.m. Everybody have a good evening.
You too.
Good night. Thank you.